Morning. If you'd like a title, you can write this down, but if you're an English major, you might not like it. It's called, Wanna Be a Better Christian Soldier. Wanna be a better Christian soldier? I do. With Veterans Day, it's today. It's, you know, it's a day of giving thanks for all those men that have served and are serving and helping to protect our freedom here. And we know ultimate freedom is from God has given us these blessings, but it's a day to give tribute and thanks. There's a lot of people that don't give our military people that have served the honor they deserve. But it also makes me pray, when you think of Veterans Day, you know, for Christ's return. And if you turn to Isaiah 2, verse 4. Isaiah 2 and verse 4. And I'll break into the middle of this. When Christ returns, they'll talk about, they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. It'll be nice when that day comes. But with thinking about this day, Veterans Day, I did some research into the Medal of Honor. You know, the best of the best soldiers who have sacrificed so much for others. And there's quite a bit of criteria that goes into it, but I went to army.mil.com to get some of this research. The Medal of Honor is the nation's highest medal for valor in combat that can be awarded to members of the armed forces. The medal was first authorized in 1861 for sailors and Marines and was following year for soldiers as well. Since then, more than 3,400 medals of honor have been awarded to members of service. 3,400, that's not that many. Medals of honor are awarded sparingly and are bestowed only to the bravest of the brave that have the courage and must be well documented. The whole recommendation process takes about at least 18 months to verify, to make sure they did these acts of valor. And then finally, the President of the United States personally gives it to the man or woman. One of those elite people that got the Medal of Honor was Desmond Doss. He was a World War II medic on the 77th Army Division and served in the Hacksaw Ridge on Okinawa, a small island off the coast of Japan. He was the first conscientious objector to win the Medal of Honor. Doss had a strong faith in God. He believed in the Ten Commandments. He didn't carry a gun, but he carried his faith and his Bible with him into all the battles. Doss believed you should preserve life rather than take life in the Sixth Commandment. Because of his belief also in the Sabbath, seventh-day Sabbath, he wouldn't work on the Sabbath. So, however, he picked up extra duties and worked long hours the rest of the week to make up for it. He was letting his light shine on and off the battlefield. Desmond set himself apart with fellow soldiers because they made it difficult on him. They tormented him. They beat him up. But he was strongly committed to his nation. He wanted to serve his nation, even though he didn't believe in taking life. During one battle, he prayed with the group, and it was on Hacksaw Ridge where a lot of people were killed that day. But his group, since he prayed with them, he really believes, only one person was hurt, and he was hurt by a rock. All the groups on both sides of him had been devastated. And when they radioed back, nobody hurt. They're like, what happened? But then I was watching the video of him. He's saying the next day they forgot to pray. And everything went wrong. They'd throw stuff at the Japanese and try to get them out of bunkers. Everything went wrong. It just shows God will honor prayers if you honor them. Desmond, on how he got the Medal of Honor, he was a small man, only about 144, 45 pounds, but he could physically outperform a lot because he was so determined that God was working with him. His lack of physical size, he made up in his determination and faith that God was guiding him. He got the Medal of Honor for saving 75 men on Hacksaw Ridge. These are some of the same 75 men that were giving him a hard time and beating him up in boot camp. Some of these same 75 men. He dragged some over 100 yards to safety. That's a whole football length on near the enemy's front lines. He would sometimes drag some of them that were 25 feet away from Japanese forces. 25 feet. That's not far when someone's got a gun and was shooting. And when he got hurt himself, he had to drag himself 300 yards to safety. But a lot of times people have heard those, but when I was looking up the qualifications of a Medal of Honor, they showed the real transcripts of Desmond Doss and some of the other little intricacies on they talk about in here were that he refused to seek cover. The rest of his group that had guns were seeking cover, but he was still out there in front of them pulling these men back and saving their lives. And here it talks about where he got hurt and giving aid to injured until he himself was seriously wounded in his leg by the explosion of a grenade. Rather than call aid and have a man come from cover, he cared for his own injuries and waited 5 hours. 5 hours. The stretcher bearers reached him and started carrying him. Started carrying him to cover. And then they were caught in enemy tank attack, and the private first class, seeing a person more critically wounded man nearby, crawled off the stretcher and directed the bearers to take him first and get his attention. While he was waiting, he was shot again in the arm now and had a compound fracture. That's when the bone comes out of the skin. That's when I was talking about earlier, he had to drag himself 300 yards to safety. And finally, he was picked up. But this man definitely deserved the Medal of Honor. I mean, he saved those 75 men and had effects on many, many other people's lives. And, you know, just to think of, he's always, even when he was going through a trial, being shot, compound, and everything, he saw somebody else hurting, and he got off the stretcher, which just is amazing, and said, no, take him. He needs it more than I. And that's when he got shot again. But he was an amazing soldier. But just think of us. How many lives can a good Christian soldier affect by his actions, by his example? If we're living a life guided by God's Holy Spirit in everything we do, we can have an impact on our family, our friends, our neighbors, and other church members, you know, unifying, bringing them, being a witness. They may not be on the physical battlefield like we were talking about earlier, but they still have wounds like physical, emotional, and spiritual needs that as a Christian soldier, we can help. I want to talk about an amazing Christian soldier that's in the Bible. He led by example. I believe we're all called to be leaders in different ways, in different capacities. We might not be leading hundreds or troops or stuff like that, but we can be a leader by our example in our family and set an example at work or wherever we're at and be an example of using the gifts God has given you. Whatever gifts, little you may think they are, with God's Holy Spirit working behind them and using that gift to serve, you can make a difference, a huge difference. The man I want to talk about today was such a leader as this. He was not a leader of a huge army or a huge organization. He was just an ordinary person like us who used his gifts but had an extraordinary effect on the work. This man's name is Joseph. He was a Levite from Cyprus. Joseph, you might ask. If you're not sure who Joseph is, you might know him better by the nickname of Barnabas. No, he didn't write, he was the most prominent disciple. He didn't write a huge book, but he still had a huge, huge effect on God's work. Barnabas was an incredible spiritual leader. He fought against Satan daily, against the many things Satan threw at him. And if we look at Ephesians 6:12, Ephesians 6, verse 12, it talks about the armor of God, but it also talks here, verse 12. We are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against the mighty powers in the dark world, against evil spirits, heavenly powers. These are way more dangerous than any of the Japanese or other things that DOS went against. And we need God's Holy Spirit each and every day, and not forget to pray like they did when they went into battle that one day and everything went wrong. And I'm sure we've all gone through some of those times where, why is everything going wrong today? I didn't have time for prayer and Bible study. No, we don't have time not to do that. Going back to what Michael was talking about, taking that time for Bible study. Purpose today is to learn from the example of Barnabas. Learn from the example of Barnabas and how to be a better Christian soldier. How to be a better Christian soldier. We're all striving to be a good Christian soldier. Turn back to 2 Timothy, please, if you would. 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 3. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier. When you're a Christian soldier, we are going to go through sufferings. We are. It's a part of it. Like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in the civilian affairs, but rather tries to please the commander officer. As long as we are fighting our fight and trying to please God, following his commandments, ask God to guide us in his Holy Spirit, God's going to take care of the rest. Barnabas fought Satan and his tactics, and we'll talk about here of potential division, envy, and discouragement that plagues churches, people everywhere. But he fought it with asking God's Holy Spirit to help him have a discerning spirit, an encouraging spirit, and to use his gifts daily to help other members and Gentiles and whoever he came in contact with. Turn to Acts 11. You might want to put a marker in Acts if you don't mind. And we'll be there quite a bit today. Acts 11, verse 24. Talking about Barnabas. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great member of the people were brought to the Lord. It describes him here. A man full, not partially, but full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith. That is one of the keys to being a better Christian leader, to being a better Christian soldier, is to be looking and asking for God to guide everything we do. Everything. And there's four things that we're going to go through today, and we're asking where God can guide us with that Holy Spirit that Barnabas used, because we know he did, because it talks about him being full of the Holy Spirit. You can't be full of the Holy Spirit and not be using it. But the first thing we want to ask God to help us with the Holy Spirit so we can become a better Christian soldier is to help us live a more self-sacrificing, serving life. More self-sacrifice, serving life. Ask him to guide us in that. The second point we're going to go through, ask God's Holy Spirit to guide us to be an encourager to all that we come in contact. Not with part, not a respecter of people, but that it's a part of our nature to always be looking for ways to encourage. And the third point is to ask God to guide us with His Holy Spirit to live a life of integrity, good character, always making a good name, always looking on what it, my actions do, is it reflecting, is it making a good name? But a man, his name, you know, of integrity and good character. And the fourth point we're going to be going through is to apply the BFP. B as in boy, F as in Frank, P as in Paul principle. BFP. Everybody's heard of that, I'm sure. So I don't even need to tell you what that means. But maybe I'll tell you because I just made it up. But B stands for giving people benefit of the doubt. And if they did do something against you or others, forgiving them. Benefit of the doubt. Forgiving. And then seeing the potential. BFP. That's the way we should live our life. And that's the way Barnabas did. He gave the benefit of the doubt to people. He forgave them. And then he worked with them so they could reach that potential. He saw that. That Holy Spirit helped him. And when you're looking at around at all the potential that's here, future spirit beings working with God in the kingdom, when he returns, you know, it's harder to not forgive somebody when you know what their potential is. But the Holy Spirit's got to be working with you and helping us. So the first point, let's go back to that. A good Christian soldier should live a life of self-sacrificing, giving, serving life. Barnabas exemplifies that. If you turn to Barnabas, Acts 4. Sorry about my cough, guys. I'm just glad you're not close to me and smelling my breath of all my cough drops and everything. So luckily no one's right here. But Acts 4, verse 36. Acts 4, verse 36, we're introduced to Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called, they called him Barnabas. He sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the feet of the apostles. He sold a field and gave the money to the apostles at their feet. He humbly gave it to them for distribution to give to the others in the church of need. You know, you just think of yourself. Imagine you had a plot of land. It's not 10 bucks. It's not 5 bucks. It's a good hunk of money to give. It's one thing to say, see a need. It's another thing to really look, hey, put your money where your mouth is. And if you've got that ability, whatever amount it is, and you see a need, to give. He sacrificed his land, his money, to give to others. In verse 32, here it shows, it talks about how close this group of church was. All the believers were of one heart, one mind. They all were doing this too. When a Christian soldier has this kind of self-sacrificing attitude of giving and serving, it's a huge weapon against Satan. Because Satan wants us to think, once you get this possession, oh, I got this, I got this, I want this. And you can get focus on all these things instead of, hey, what can I do with these things to help serve? God has given me this as a blessing. How can I use these blessings to help serve? Other people are like, that's just sacrificing. You're like, no, God will bless you even more in other ways. But that's just the way Barnabas was. He saw a need and he sacrificed his land and gave his money. And he lived that example. He didn't just preach that way. Barnabas was an effective leader. First in leading the church of Antioch, and then in his ministerial journeys from Antioch with Paul, the inexperienced Paul. If you turn to Acts 14, 1 through 7, you know, preaching back then, you sacrificed your safety in a lot of ways. It talks about them risking their lives. You know, nowadays around here, we don't risk our lives as much here, but around the world, it's getting that way. Acts 14, 1 through 7. At Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went, as usual, into the Jewish synagogue. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Greeks believed. They were doing a work, you know, passionately. But The Jews who refused to believe stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to perform signs and wonders. They were doing miracles there. The people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews and others sided with the apostles. There was a plot afoot among both Gentiles and Jews together with their leaders to mistreat and stone them. They wanted to stone them. We also turn to Acts 15. Acts 15. Talking about Barnabas and Paul. Verse 24. Acts 15, verse 24. We have heard that some went out from us without our authority and disturbed you, troubling your minds by what they said. We all agreed to choose some men and send them to you with your dear friends, Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. They sacrificed just staying at home, having a regular job, but sacrificed their safety to go out and preach God's word. You know, sometimes we think about we have to sacrifice little things, and this is a big thing. This is a true Christian soldier to lay down his life to serve others. Never talks about for sure whether he ever did die in the Bible or not, or was stoned or persecuted, but he went at risk. People were trying to kill him. And you can just write this down, John 15:13, where it talks about greater love is no one than to lay down his life for one's friends. You know, he lived that. He was putting his life on the line to preach to others. A lot like laying down the life like the people that get the Medal of Honor, you know? He was willing to die to help serve and preach the gospel. Another example of Barnabas, along with Saul, sacrificing their time and money. Acts 11, verse 27. Acts 11, verse 27. During this time, some prophets traveled from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up in one of the meetings and predicted by the Spirit a great famine was coming upon the entire Roman world. So the believers in Antioch decided to send relief to the brothers and sisters in Judah. Everyone giving as much as they could. Not just scrimping, but giving as much as they could. This they did. They entrusted these gifts to Barnabas and Saul to take to the elders in the church in Jerusalem. They had to organize. They saw this need. They had to organize. They had to collect the funds. They wanted to help their other Jewish believers in Judah. They saw that suffering, you know, and they were motivated, the whole church and them, to help them out. You know, Barnabas, I'm sure, preached to them about this also, about having this kind of example. And they had seen his example, and that helped the whole church, not just part, but everyone, to give as much as they were able to and to sacrifice. Because there was things they couldn't get, but they felt when one part of the body hurts, the entire body hurts, you know? And they felt that. And they just didn't feel it a little bit in the heart. They felt it by giving, you know, of their time. And, you know, you just didn't jump on the Euro rail or a cruise liner. They had to take that money and take it back to Jerusalem and at their own risk and peril of somebody trying to rob them and everything. But they did. They knew their brother needed that help. And they happily self-sacrificed, you know, and gave of their time to do that. When I think of a verse that kind of sums up Barnabas, it's 1 John 3, verse 14. 1 John 3, verse 14. Start there. Make sure I wrote this down right. Sorry. Verse 16, how about that? Let's try that one. Sorry. This is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down his life. This is what we're talking about, the disciples. Barnabas did. He laid down his life. He put it at risk for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity for them, how can the love of God be in that person? No. These people, when Barnabas had the possession, he gave. He didn't say, oh, that's too bad. I'll pray for you. Dear children, let us not love with just words or speech, but with actions and truth. And that's what he lived by. You know, risking his life and giving of his possessions and time. So how can we be a better Christian soldier in this area? Of being happily wanting to self-sacrifice, give, and serve. It starts with what I said in the first. Ask God to show us with his Holy Spirit where we can. Count our blessings. When you're counting your blessings, and if you see how much we're blessed with, and, you know, our children, our friends here. One of my friends just lost his child last week, drowned. And you just want to hug your kids even more. It just, and they still haven't found his body, you know? It's just like that closure, but it just makes you want to hug. When you start counting those incredible blessings that are priceless, it's easier to give and self-sacrifice. And you don't have to have a lot of possessions. Visit, pray, you know, do something. Ask God, Holy Spirit, to guide you to do something today to help someone else. The second point of being a good Christian soldier, you should be an encourager. A good Christian soldier is an encourager. Barnabas was an encourager. I'm sure he had a positive personality, you know, just knowing, hey, God's, no matter how bleak a situation, God's going to be there. He's not going to forsake us. And if you turn to Acts 4, verse 36. We read this earlier, but Acts 4, verse 36. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas. They nicknamed him Barnabas, the son of encouragement. You know, as you were a kid, you probably got some good and bad nicknames, but this is an incredibly good one, you know? And you just think positive and encouraging people, like I'm sure Barnabas was, attract people in. Negative people, you know, and always being discouraging, repel people. How can you serve people and be there for people if you're always discouraging and down? People aren't going to come to you and tell you their needs and ask for help. But he was such an encourager that they nicknamed him Son of Encouragement. And you just self-evaluate ourselves and say, hey, when someone says your name, what's the first thing they think of? And is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? How is our light shining at church, at home, at work? On the road, on the highway, which I always still have to work on, and my wife's always there to help me. So that's a blessing to have a wife to keep you from having road rage and stuff like that, so you can set the right example, so your kids don't start yelling in the backseat too, and you're like, "Where'd you learn that?" Okay, I'm sure from mom. No, but it's those little things. It's those little things that the kids pick up on, and are we being a light here and other places and being encouraged wherever we go? Acts 11, verse 22 shows this example of encouragement and how he led the church of Antioch there. Acts 11, verse 22. News of this reached the church of Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived, he saw the grace of God had done, and he was glad. And he encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. Not part, but all. He was passionate. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. a great number of people were brought to the Lord. I mean, he didn't just begrudgingly encourage, hey, hope you're doing better, see you, bye. No, he felt it. He was joyful. He was glad and said, keep this up. And that's what we should be doing with each other when we see brethren that are discouraged, down, going through a trial. Say, hey, God's working out something. And encourage them. When a Christian soldier uses this gift of encouragement, it can be such an effective weapon against Satan and his ploys of discouragement and his ploys of hopelessness and his ploys of, I don't know what God is doing. God is just being mean to me through this trial. But no. Guiding and using that gift of encouragement with God's Holy Spirit, he will guide you to who needs that encouragement and what to say. Sometimes there's nothing to say. When my friend lost a son, I hugged him. It was hard to say anything, you know? Just a hug, being there for him. Just a text to say, hey, I'm praying for you. Something like that means so much. Barnabas recruited and encouraged Paul to become a teacher in Tarsus. If you look at Acts 11, verse 25, just the other page, Acts 11, verse 25. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. That was the reason he went there, to recruit, to encourage him. And verse 26, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, he worked with Barnabas and Saul, and they met in the church, and they taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. You know, God guided him with his Holy Spirit to go to him and say, hey, work with him, encourage him to be, you know, a disciple and become your potential. From the church of Antioch, Barnabas and Paul visited the church in Jerusalem with that gift that we were talking about earlier to those people that were going through the famine in Judah. When they returned from Antioch, they picked up John Mark. In verse 25, Acts 12, verse 25, just the page over. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem, and when they fulfilled their ministry, they took with them John. It's also called John Mark, whose surname was Mark. And I can imagine Barnabas saying, come on, John. He could see that potential and say, come on, come with us. Let's work with you, and you can help us, and we'll help you. And he could see someday maybe he'd be a disciple, a minister. But also, Barnabas was humble enough to, you know, encourage Saul or Paul to develop his talents of speaking and become a minister and work with him for that year, but to also step aside when Paul was the best person to lead the church, to preach to the Gentiles. He was fine. He was happy, you know, that good, God helped me to guide him, and now God's going to take him to another level. When we're a good Christian soldier, we ask that Holy Spirit to guide us, to always look to uplift others, not to, hey, I'm in charge, you're some, you know, you're supposed to listen to me and just do what I say, I'm above you. No, we're in this all together, working to uplift the whole team. And I talk to my friends at work about that too. You know, if we're helping each other as a team, we're going to accomplish so much more. And whenever I see one of my friends at work doing something good, I call their boss and say what they're doing, which encourages them to keep doing that. And before you know, I'm having calls to my boss saying, hey, this guy did something good for me, and we worked together and we collaborated, instead of climbing the ladder of corporate success by not encouraging others. No. By encouraging everybody, you come up as a team. And some will go up in different areas. Some will have different strengths in certain ways. But you're happy for that. You know? And you're happy, and you're asking, and you're looking for people with talents in the church. And you want to encourage them in the prayer today, encouraging, you know, our piano player, saying, you know, that is a blessing to have music. It's encouraging, you know, to hear the words, not just our DVD player or CD, which sometimes goes slower and longer and everything else. No, it's a blessing to hear incredible music, us all singing together, praising God. And, you know, that helps the church. And preaching, telling somebody, hey, that really affected me. Or helping them to work on something as a preacher, you know. My wife helps me there. So you guys don't have to help me too much there. But, you know, encourage people if they write an article to keep writing. Look for ways to encourage them to use their talents like Barnabas did, encouraged, you know, John Mark, encouraged other members in the church to stay faithful, but to use their talents to promote the work and to keep the church encouraged. Third point, a good Christian soldier lives a life of integrity, good character, you know, always thinking about being a light, having a better name, not just at church, but at home, on the road, everywhere. You can just write this down. Proverbs 22, verse 1. Proverbs 22, verse 1. A good name is chosen greater than riches. Barnabas had an incredible name. His first name, an encourager. Proverbs 22, verse 1. Barnabas had a great reputation. He was known as an encourager. He was known for helping people spiritually, physically, monetarily. He was a man of incredible character, filled with the Holy Spirit, as the verses say. And that's why he was trusted so much. With that kind of trust and stuff, God can work through you to be a light, to draw others, can work with you. As we see here, Barnabas was the only one that was willing to associate with Saul, or Paul, after his conversion. You know, he put his life at risk. Look at what it talks about, how Paul, how vicious he was towards the church. Acts 9, verse 1. Acts 9, verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath. He was eager to kill the Lord's followers. Eager. Not just half-hearted. He wanted to. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogue in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in arrest of any of the followers of the way, of the church that he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. This, can you imagine going to him and saying, oh, you want to be a minister in the church? Hey, you just killed my friend over there and stuff. And it just went to how incredible Barnabas's reputation must have been, because he vouches for Saul. If you look here in Acts 9, verse 26 through 27, when Saul arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to meet with the believers, but they were afraid of him. No kidding. They knew people he had killed, or taken away in chains. This is a ploy. No way. But God's Holy Spirit was working with them, you know, having that discerning spirit with Barnabas. So we go on here. They did not believe he had truly became a believer. Then Barnabas brought him to the apostles and told him how Saul had seen the Lord on the way to Damascus and how the Lord had spoken to Saul. He also told them that Saul had preached boldly in the name of Jesus in Damascus. So Saul stayed, and the apostles, and he went all around Jerusalem with them, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. Barnabas helped Saul by taking him to the apostles in Jerusalem and explaining to them. But you don't listen to a man that doesn't have incredible integrity, that you totally trust with your life, to, by the end of this, say, okay, you know, this guy that has killed other church members, he has changed. will give him a chance unless someone with an incredible reputation vouched for him. They respected him. He was a man of integrity. And so they accepted what he said, because as a result of his incredible character, you know, this once violent opponent to the church was able to associate freely with Jesus' disciples and proclaim the gospel to the unsaved. That just blows my mind. It makes me think of just a little bit, you know, there was that tragic shooting this last week or a week ago of those 20-some people getting shot in the church, you know? I mean, it's not the exact same thing, but it just blows my mind how much they trusted and what kind of reputation Barnabas must have had to vouch for this guy and say, hey, God had changed him, had worked with him, and now he was going to preach and spread the gospel. That's what we want to be striving for, to have that kind of integrity, that kind of character, that people trust us, believe in us. How can we be better Christian soldiers in this area? Evaluate ourselves on what our reputation is. Don't be quick to judge. Don't be harsh, condemning. Be careful with our words. Be careful not to offend others. If we don't have something encouraging to say, don't say it. Don't say it, sorry. Find one area of our reputation to work on. What's one area? I think we're all great people here, but to be a better Christian soldier, what's one area that we could work on that if we work on this, God can use us a little bit more effectively? Just a little bit more effectively. What is it? Is it reaching out and serving in the community? Is it reaching out and serving more in the church? Is it, what is it? Do we kid too much? I think I do. That's an area I need to work on, you know? We all have something that we could work on. So God can use us and our talents more effectively to do the work. So our character isn't a stumbling block to somebody else in the church. And you're like, hey, I work with that guy. I would never go to that church. He cusses at works. He does other things, you know? We want our character to be a light that brings people into the church. Fourth area, a good Christian soldier practices the BFP principle. You guys remember what the BFP principle was? He gives them the benefits of the doubt, forgiving, and sees that potential. Benefits, forgiving, potential. That's the way we can unify our church. Barnabas did this, but just think about that. Giving other church members the benefit of the doubt. If they did or didn't mean something bad about it, forgiving them. And really thinking about the potential of us all working together, how we can preach the gospel. Not, well, I can't work with him because he did that, but I can work over here. And no, that's not the way. That's not the way Barnabas was. He possessed exceptional spiritual qualities because the Holy Spirit was filled him. And I know all of us sometimes feel probably the Holy Spirit's not filled with, or we're not using it all the time, because we look back and we're asking God for forgiveness every day for certain things that we've done. But Barnabas, he was unshakable. He had a confidence in God's faith that God's Holy Spirit was guiding him. And he had a discerning spirit. So when he was working with people, you know, he could say, yeah, I really believe this guy has changed. You know, the Holy Spirit guided to see the potential in Paul, who had killed and had chained up and jailed other church members, and John as a minister in the church. You know, he saw the potential in them. And he gave them the benefit of the doubt that they had changed from their ways, you know, of what Saul had done, that he was truly convicted about wanting to preach and wanting to be on God's team, and he was converted, to giving John Mark a second chance. You know, he had a passion. He wanted to work with him, and he didn't want to give up. When we talk about John Mark, about giving him a second chance, go to Acts 13, verse 2. Acts 13, Acts 13, verse 4. Acts 13, verse 4. And the two of them sent off their way to the Holy Spirit and went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived in Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. John Marker was with them as their helper. They traveled through the whole island until Paphos. And go down to verse 13. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John departed from them, returning to Jerusalem. He left the work for a while. They don't say why, but he left. He stopped preaching. He went back. That didn't leave a good taste in Paul's mouth, because when Paul and Barnabas discussed visiting the churches they had established earlier and doing another missionary effort to go see all these people, Barnabas wanted to take John Mark. He wanted to give him a second chance to, like, oh, he won't leave the work. He'll keep preaching this time. But turn to Acts 15, verse 36 and 14. Acts 15. For some time, Paul said to Barnabas, let's go back and visit each church where we previously preached the word of the Lord to see how the new believers are doing. Barnabas agreed and really wanted to take along with him John Mark. But Paul disagreed strongly, since John Mark had, in his words, deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in their work. This disagreement was so sharp that they separated. Barnabas took John Mark with him and sailed to Cyprus. Paul chose Silas, and as they left, the believers entrusted him to the Lord's gracious care. And then they traveled throughout Syria and Cilicia and strengthening the churches there. They went two different ways. They didn't divide the church. They just preached the gospel two different ways. You know, sometimes when you have disagreements or of opinion, you agree to disagree or other things, but other people leave the church, just divide the church. They actually went two different ways, but they kept preaching the gospel. Paul had a respect, I feel, for Barnabas in such a way that you don't see him putting him down. There's no talking about, well, you are totally wrong, or put down his character. They just agreed to disagree and went their own ways. Later, Paul, in 1 Timothy 4:11, you don't have to turn there, he said he saw that John Mark was helpful in the ministry. He realized, okay, Barnabas did see something in him. He has changed. He is useful in the ministry. You know? Maybe I should have given him the benefit of the doubt. In the back of his mind, he might have been thinking, like Barnabas did, giving him a chance. Barnabas is a good Christian. He applied that BFP principle where he gave, you know, John Mark that benefit of the doubt. He forgave him. If he left the war and left him kind of high and dry, he forgave him and moved on, and he saw that potential. He's like, that's not going to stop me from helping you to do the work and reach your potential and help serve the church. You know, it wasn't about his feelings or his hurt feelings. He wanted to work with the church and have them grow, and was willing to take the time and that solution. But think, they went two different ways. They served more people. Silas was also developed more than he would have been. But the main thing is, they respected each other to disagree. They didn't divide the church. They kept preaching the gospel and even preached it even more. But think about Barnabas and how encouraging he was to John Mark. I'm sure he saw how adamant that Barnabas was about taking him with. I mean, he was actually jeopardizing the mission itself. He's like, no, John Mark has potential. There's no way I am not going with him. And when someone believes in you that much after you've messed up, don't you want to prove them right even more? But God's Holy Spirit working in Barnabas, he could see that. And he had the patience. And he had that forethought to see the potential on how much he could do for the work. But he did that for Saul too. You know, Barnabas, you know, he vouched for him. And without him vouching for him, without him forgiving, you know, Barnabas, you know, think of the effect their preaching could, if they wouldn't have been used without Barnabas helping to, you know, be for Paul to be accepted to be preaching, for John Mark to be given a second chance. That would have really affected the work. God would have rose up other people, but Barnabas had a huge effect on the work by being a great Christian soldier. As we become better Christian soldiers, you know, be slow to judge others. Be willing to give others that benefit of the doubt. You know, forgive them. And always be looking at other church members, other family members, your wife, other people, at their potential. You know, we can become better Christian soldiers if we work on those 4 points that we were talking about. Become more self-sacrificing, giving. Ask God's Holy Spirit to help us there. To be more encouraging to everybody. To be striving to have that good name wherever we go. And to have that BFP principle. Benefit of the doubt, forgiving, and potential. In conclusion, when I was looking up the Medal of Honor on the Army's website, I saw a quote there, and it had 4 points there. I don't know if it's the motto, the creed of the Army, but it goes right into this. I want to read these 4 points. It says in the Army's website about the Medal of Honor, it said, "I will always place my mission first." And I think you just write down Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom and the righteousness." You know, and on our songbooks, our mission for our church is to preach the gospel, prepare people. And I think of Barnabas. That's what he did. He preached the gospel, and he prepared the people and other preachers. And then the next point on the website about the Medal of Honor, it says, "I will never accept defeat." And I think of Proverbs 16:3, "Entrust your work to the Lord and your planning will succeed." Barnabas, everything he did, you know, he asked God's Holy Spirit to guide him. And he knew it was going to succeed. If God was guiding him and it was God's will, it's going to happen. So he never would accept defeat. God's going to find a way to do this, to preach the gospel. And the third point on the Army's website was, it says, "I will never quit." I will never quit. And you think of Galatians 6:9-10. Galatians 6:9-10. It says, "Let us not grow weary in doing well-doing, for in due time we will reap a harvest. It will do if we do not give up." We do not give up. "Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to everyone, encourage everyone, serve everyone, especially the family of faith." Barnabas lived this scripture too, giving his money, giving his time, risking his life. And the fourth point on there, it says, "I will never leave a fallen comrade." I will never leave a fallen comrade. And I thought of Hebrews 10:24, where it says, "We must also consider how to encourage each other to show love and to do good things. We should not stop gathering together like we are today with other believers, as some of you are doing. Instead, we must continue to encourage each other more as we see the day of the Lord coming." Barnabas lived this. He always looked for ways to encourage. When that man was down and discouraged, when that comrade had fallen on the battlefield, he was there to uplift John Mark, uplift other churches and other people, and see that potential in them and fight for them and not give up on them, you know? Like the soldier Desmond Doss, who got the Medal of Honor for the heroism of saving 75 people in the battle, I think Barnabas deserves the Christian Soldier Medal of Honor. And that's why I say, let's learn from Barnabas' example and become better Christian soldiers.